Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight in the name of our Lord Jesus. We glorify your name. Wonderful testimony. Nothing good will you withhold from them that walk uprightly. You told us from the beginning, every place where the feet are touched, I'll be given to us for a possession. Lord, we thank you, Father. Have ordered the step of our brethren. Lord, gladden their heart, Lord. We give you all the praise and glory.
Amen.
Bible says, no matter what stand in their way, they will overcome. No matter what confronts them, the prophet said that they will overcome. We will overcome. We are overcomers. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus. Thank you for the wonderful testimony. Thank you for the joyful singing to the Lord. Lord, thank you for putting us in this age, the best age to live in indeed. The generation shall see the coming of the Lord. Lord, we worship and we adore you, Lord. Lord, we know and we believe with all our heart that this is true, the word of the Lord. As we read scripture tonight, Lord, it's always a great delight. In the name of the Lord Jesus, thou spirit of life, that raised our Lord Jesus Christ again from the dead, and has begotten us to a lively hope with that resurrection from the dead. To thee be glory and majesty tonight, dominion and power from now and throughout all eternity. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I know we thank the Lord for the other Wednesday. Last Wednesday we have a great time with our brother encouraging us, you know, in different scriptures, and that we are not alone. Even the Lord himself said the same thing, as the Father has sent me, so I have sent you. Two times he said it himself. In John 8:16 he says so. In John 16:32 he says so. Praise God. Yeah, I'm not alone. He said the Father is with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. How often we should remember this thing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, you know, that last time. So I want to do one more series about the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is April, where they celebrate the Easter and so on. I like to see how things happen, getting the scriptures, and also at the same time, see what kind of element of history we can bring into it. It makes it more understandable, and even talking about the passion of Christ, make us to know, understand, and remember what great things the Lord has done for us. Make us to have valued what He has done. Praise the Lord. So this evening, by God's grace, where we took off, we talked about the ecclesiastical trial and the civil trial of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost brought us so many viewpoints in there. I thought we just not just leave it where Herod, where Pilate had it. No, the second time, let's follow him, the Lord, within 12-hour period. All that I'm saying happened within 12 hours. When you are reading this gospel, you think this thing was like weeks. No, this job within 24 hours, all these things that the Lord went through. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So tonight, we follow Pilate the second time when he tried the Lord. And all the way we go to Golgotha. Praise God. And bring elements of history there, you know. This is the foundation of our faith. And, people talk about Easter. I don't know what they talk about, you know. But to rehearse this thing, to see what the Lord has done for His people. So tonight is the last series. On Easter Sunday, we talk about the resurrection proper. The many, many infallible proofs of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. No, so do like the other way around, but that's okay. It's all the word of the Lord. So tonight, I want to just finish what Pilate did, and all the referring to Golgotha. I'll just leave it there until any other time that the Lord will make us go that way. So let's take it from where we are. After the Lord had been taken to the whipping post, that's what we saw last, and the scourge was over, what happened? Pilate, had entertained a remote hope that the rabble, meaning this mob, will be pleased and will let the Lord go, and release him without precipitating any kind of a riot. That was his thought, So there are some things in history we bring into this thing that make it even rich and so on, that to see what went through and so on. However, these bloodthirsty soldiers that accompanied the Lord were not pleased at all. What the Lord did, even with his country, they were not pleased. The Jews, they wanted to just want to kill the Lord and so on. And anyway, supposing that Pilate had committed the law to crucifixion, they thought to add even more insults, and a more sadistic pleasure, madness, by further tormenting the Lord. See? All this time they were fulfilling scripture, they don't even know it. We see how God used any kind of a thing to fulfill his word, you know, in all these things. So today, one may wonder how human beings, the kind of treatment they inflicted upon the law, how can human beings gloat over the suffering of another human? You just wonder. But when we know the terribleness of sin, you know, and the, you know, the horrible potential of sin, if it's unchecked, you know, what does it do? It turns humans to demons. That's what it does. When sin becomes unchecked, it turns human beings to demons almost. Praise God. That is this mad crowd. What happened to them as soon as that, you know? What happened to Judas Iscariot? Permitted the devil to enter into himself, right? You know, unchecked, you know. Anyway, so, well, that's for the normal people now. For these soldiers, they are used, they are ignored, you know, they are accustomed, you know, to bloodshed, right? They were soldiers, right? You know, who are coming to the law and so on. They were ignored or, accustomed to, you know, to bloodshed. Even not only the soldiers, really, even the Roman Empire in their own time and so on, their barbaric way of doing things, you know. We know that during the early days, they will gather in Colosseum and they will have gladiators butcher themselves before them, and they will be laughing and they will be cracking jokes. Can you imagine that? Bloodshed is nothing to them in the Roman, you know, in the Roman Empire and things like that. Even in their later generation, what happened to them, these Romans? Take Christians and feed them to lions, and lions tear limb to limb Christians and so on, and they will be laughing and they will be giggling. No, that kind of thing, you know. So that's the nature of the Roman Empire and that's about, you know, even in the ancient time and all that, you know. So anyway, so now the horseplay of these people that are following the Lord consisted of one more thing they want to do to the Lord: a mockery, the crown of thorns, you know. If already flog him, whip him and all that, you know. So let's put more mockery, they think, you know. What was it? You know, a mock coronation, you know, a crown of thorns. They knew the Jews, this Roman, they knew that the Jews had tagged the Lord to be, the Jews tagged the Lord to be a pretender. That was how they pretend the Lord, you know, to the Romans, you know. And so they say he's a pretender, and he was seeking to usurp the throne of the emperor. Tiberius was the emperor at that time in Rome, you know. I like history with the Bible, you know. I mean, they reveal certain things, you know. Anyway, so that is charge they brought against the Lord. Some say, did politics influence Jesus? Absolutely, praise God. But in the foreknowledge of God, praise the Lord Jesus. That's right, the Lord's foreknowledge of God. Anyway, so he wanted to usurp the throne of Tiberius. That's the charge, you know, bring it against him and so on. So to them, these soldiers, they believe it too, and so on, you know. So to them, their conclusion was, he deserved it. The Lord deserved what he was going through, you know, because that's what was made to believe by the Jews themselves, you know. And so, you know, also don't forget, the Romans, they hated the Jews for what? For their constant, call it rebellion. They always opposed the Roman, anything that I told you the other about 2 weeks ago, we talked about certain of them. Even this particular pilot did so many things, you know. For example, he flew the flag with the emblem of the emperor over the Jerusalem. When they know it's against the Jews' belief, he did it. And the last one of the things he did again, he brought even the emperor. He wants to get the favor of the emperor, right? And he brought the effigy of the emperor inside the temple, you know. In fact, that time they didn't even deal with Pilate. They went to report him to the emperor at Rome directly, you know. And the emperor had to come back and just kind of rebuke Pilate and something like that, you know. And and settle the controversy right there, you know. So anyway, so we move on from here. So you see, so now, so these Romans now, so they hated the Jews for their constant, quality rebellion. So I think that, no. So now, to really torture the Lord, so, you know, in a wanting mimicry, want to mimic, You want to be Emperor Tiberius, right? Let's crown him. Begin to make mockery of the law, you know. It happened right there, you know, back in history and so on. What did they do? So they made a wreath of thorns and pressed it down the brow of the Savior. Can you imagine that? You know, and so on, that, you know. And of course, they tied his hand behind him. And to that trembling hand tied behind him, they put a reed. That's a scepter. O King of the Jews, you know. So, all this they did to the Lord, you know, in the passion, you know, of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm doing it because April is ending, before they all forgot about Easter, and they just round it up, you know, this particular passion of the Lord and so forth. So, anyway, there was the Lord, you know, so, and over is a blood soaked, you know, they already flogged the Lord, no blood running at the back and so on. They put on him a cast off cloak, you know, upon him and so on, with blood running and things like that, you know. Now, so we remember during the ecclesiastical trial, what did they do to the Lord? One of the things they did was that they ridiculed his prophetic office. They did. How did they do it? Let me get some scripture here, so it won't be all history. In Matthew 26:67. I said they ridiculed the prophetic office of the Lord in the ecclesiastical triumphant. What did they do in 26 of Matthew 67? Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us. See, you see how they ridiculed his prophetic ministry. Prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee? You know? Now, even in this civil trial also, the next thing they want to do, they want to ridicule his kingly office. That's what they are doing now. See? They want to ridicule his kingly office. That you can see in Matthew, the 27th chapter, 29th verse. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a creed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, hey, King of the Jews. See? In both ways, just mocking the Lord and things like that, you know. They mock the prophetic ministry, they mock his kingship and things like that, you know. So now, you see, everything the Lord did that he went through, they were all prophesied ahead of time, you know. Everyone, even that crown of thorns has a significance, directly or indirectly, from Scripture. How do we even know that, you know? So, and that's a symbolism to that crown of thorns. When we look very closely and so that, you know. And, you know, if you look at literature, look at everywhere, artists, they have made all kind of different versions of that wreath, you know, all over the world, you know. In artists and so on, they make different, even the crown, they make different versions, different kind of that thing and so that, you know. So there are many, many innumerable versions of that crown and so on that, you know. But to us, it means something to the Christian. When talking about a crown of thorns, take us to the book of beginnings, amen? Genesis, praise God. That's right. So, and what does it simplify? Actually, it means, really, it's a sign of the cause. Praise the Lord. That's right. It's a sign of the cause. How do we know that? In Genesis 3:17, 17 and 18, we are saying that that tongue is a sign of the cause. Bible tells us in Genesis 3:17, cause is a ground, the Bible says. And in verse 18, tongue and also testus shall it bring forth unto thee. Everything by the Lord Jesus is prophetic, you know. So we see, among other things, that kind of tongue is a sign of the cause, you know. And Christ being the Savior, see, you know, that no wonder. You know, this world, they will put off a facade. This world, the world system, they will put forth a facade of glamour. See, I call it a glamour. Looking like beautiful flowers, that is what people look like and so on. But people, behind that so-called beautiful flowers, there are thorns, you know, that will tear your shirt and tear your flesh. See, that's the world system. Praise God. See? Or, you know, representing the disappointment in this world. That is the mission of our Lord Jesus Christ, to take away the curse. Praise God. That's right. You know, take away the curse. You know, So it was the mission of the Lord Jesus to lift the curse from the world. And so it was fitting for him to have won. You see, these people unwittingly, they were fulfilling scriptures, amen? Right and left, praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See? After their blasphemous horse play, rough play with the Lord and something like that, the soldiers were ready to take the Lord to the place of crucifixion. But Pilate, within his heart, didn't want to really release him and so on, He didn't want to do it. Like people always say, did politics influence Jesus? Yes, some way, So, but Pilate still had to the hope that he would see the Lord or set him free and so on. So, in his mind, meaning Pilate, permitting the Lord to take the frightful scourging to him will be the end of the whole thing, Think they will be pacified. But not really. They were not pacified. They were not. So that hope was dashed, and some of that, He couldn't satisfy those friend-sized mob at all. He couldn't do it, Again, let us remember ourselves. He didn't know what he was doing. Prophecy had to be fulfilled. So, as the Lord came forth, his brow wearing the crown of thorns, his back lacerated by these dreadful strokes, and his face horribly desecrated by the spittle of the soldiers. Can you imagine? Yet, in all these things, the Lord fulfilling another scripture. What was it? Or prophecy, rather. Isaiah 53 said this about him, verse 2. He has no form, nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Praise God. I'm not ashamed of all these things to talk about this. Our Lord went through. Easter has come and gone. I don't know how many people are talking about this kind of thing. To remind them what great price, what infinite price was paid by the Almighty to redeem us. Anyway, so we see that one in there. Everything about him, was prophecy. When the spit spat on me, all these things, the prophet says so. That in the messianic prophet and so on. So as the Lord stood there, the blood dripping from his back to the ground, there was a grandeur about his person that rose above this, demonic people and so on that Pilate saw. And that he was able to see that preeminence in Christ, and he couldn't help it. And involuntarily, he cried out with that memorable word. What was it? Behold the man, he said, he see the preeminence, the glory, if you want to say, of the Lord, and something that, he didn't know what he was doing. Well, you see where the scripture for that one? You can go to John, the 19th chapter, the 5th verse. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns, and the purple robe. And Pilate said unto him, or unto them, behold the man. Praise the Lord, Blessed be the name of the Lord. To Pilate, this was an appeal to the people for compassion. These people have no compassion, But that was what he meant, the crowd, they were moved for a moment, by that and so on. But all of a sudden, they became silent for a while, Then Pilate was a little bit hopeful. Oh, man, they were silent. Maybe they will not release him now. But no, Pilate, they won't release him. So, and then, the chief priests now, they were fearful that, we are going to fail around this time. We are going to fail to get him. We're going to fail to get him and so on, So what did they do? They begin to cry, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And so on, That's John 19, 6. Now, can you imagine Pilate? He was sick to his head, I believe it is, and so on. And washing all these white beasts, we call them white beasts, not willing to be cheated, with their prey, in doing what they want to do to the Lord and so on, in utter disgust, here is what Pilate said. He said, take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. That is all John 19:6 and so on. In other words, what did he say? He said that if you want it done, go ahead and do it, go and do it yourself. Praise God. I'm sorry. So go and do it yourself. If you want to, of course, to the Jews, that wasn't enough. To him, that just like collaborating. They want him to sanction it. to sanction the law and to really to proclaim the law and give the verdict. They don't want to say that kind of a thing, you know. So, and that's why in verse 19, John 19:7, see, they want him to sanction, you know, the capital punishment and so on, that, you know. And the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." You know, see, that is the okay. How can you not say who you are? Praise God. Only a coward will not be able to say what you are or what he is. Amen. Praise God. He wasn't a coward. Praise God. You know. Anyway, and then Pilate was shaking. He was shaking where he was and so on. When he heard that the Lord Jesus said that he was the Son of God, he was shaking and so on, that, you know. So, and then quickly, he left these people and he led them and took the Lord and took him to the temple, separated and so on. And they inquired diligently of the Lord. He said, "Where are thou?" He to question the Lord. No, he led the mob outside. He went into the palace, into the judgment hall, to the Lord with him and so on. "Where are thou?" See, the Lord didn't answer any question. So he didn't answer any question. Answer the question and so on. So, confused and frightened now, he said in verse John 19:10, "Speak thou not unto me? Thou knowest not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee." Didn't know who he was talking to, him, eh? Praise the Lord Jesus. And he got a shocking answer, you know. And to which the Lord answered in verse 11, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivereth me unto thee had the greater sin." Praise the Lord. Oh, wonderful Jesus. Glory be to God in the highest. So Pilate turned again and so on to Christ with a resolve that we let him go. Keep on postponing, temporizing, as you call it, you know, facilitating and so on. Let him go, you know. Anyway, so he went out and told the Jews that he was going to set the law free. Of course, this statement brought forth a wide storm outside here, you know. Alike that Pilate had never even heard before. What was it? It was as if a million fallen demons were about to descend upon him, the kind of running madness that was out there, you know, when he mentioned this and so. The chief priest, at that moment, he was so desperate. "Oh, will he go away and won't get in this time around at all?" And then they put forth their corny trick. See, the political, watch now, in verse 19, in verse 12 of John 19, verse 12. And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend." Political, you know. No? "Thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." You know? Politics influencing Jesus. But in the predetermined counsel of God, amen. Praise the Lord. See? There was a thing that Pilate dreaded, because they say, "We are going to report you again to Caesar." See? "We're going to report you again." Praise God. You know, and you fear out so much and so on, you know. That another complaint, we go to Tiberius at Rome about me. So, and at this time, Tiberius himself was in a sudden condition, you know. I mean, he couldn't tolerate any kind of a complaint from anywhere. First of all, it's general. The administrator of Rome for him at that time, his name was Sergius, S-E-R-J-U-S, you know, and it's like he gave him everything. He was administering the empire for Tiberius Caesar and so on, you know. That man got so greedy, like any other power hungry, you know. And first of all, he arranged through the wife, he killed him, the son of Tiberius. He killed the son of Tiberius. You know, he is here, right? So, and yeah, the general administering Rome for this emperor. So, first of all, he was power hungry. He killed the son of that emperor. You know, not on that, I think he grew with that one's wife. After he killed that one, now he wanted to marry that, Tiberius' daughter-in-law. They said, "No, you're not going to have me. You can't have her, you know." Now, he didn't stop there. Now, Eli went on to arrange to now even kill Tiberius' himself. And that's where he got to his end. Now, the sister of Tiberius now, and now God will know about it. He now told Tiberius, here is the game plan of Sergius, you know. And that's where in AD 31, precisely, you know. So, hey, Tiberius, get that guy, you know, and they just executed him, you know. So this is just by something to tell you. Now, according to history, this Sergius, it was through him that Pilate got that position, being a governor in Palestine. Can you now see? So the king, the governor was already at an edge. So come on, get a report about Pilate again. You again, Pilate? I mean, come on, you know. Anyway, so just a little bit of history in India. So, and, you know, so we see that one in India. Anyway, so panic stricken now. Pilate, he was panic stricken and stricken and so on with fear and so on. And he made just one more effort. He took the Lord with him, sat down in the judgment hall again and said, behold your king, you know, and so on. Then he said, shall I crucify your king? You know, the chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. See? So, and you know, just John the Vision and so on. You know? So anyway, I think I already got through that already. So we see that one in India. So, and now let's see what happened. All right from that time on, so and in verse 16, then deliver he in therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. We will go as far as Golgotha, then we're going to stop tonight. You know, but let me just do that. So no sooner had Pilate given the word that the soldiers began to carry out their sentence. That is in Mark 15:20. Let me read that. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. Where you see, or like in modern times, even America here, when they put people on death row, right? They give them weeks or months to think about death, right? But you cruel people and so forth, within 12 hours, they execute the Lord, you know, within 12 hours of this thing, within 2 hours, the whole ordeal took overnight, you know, it went before the ecclesiastical Annas and the Caiaphas, then before Pilate, it went to Herod. All this are happening overnight and things like that, you know, to the next day, you know. See the honor that the Savior went through just to save you and I. Praise the Lord Jesus. In the hand of his own creation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh boy, that's why sickness has no dominion over us. Amen.
Amen.
And we are, you know, we are redeemed from the curse of the law. Christ, Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us. For curse is that hang upon the tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come to death, the Gentiles, through the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus. Knowing we are standing on solid ground, you know. So this is our redemption and something like that, you know. So and so within few hours, crucified the Lord and so forth. So now people like so the cross, the axis now, you know, this day, when they do it, they make it like a tall thing. But from what a tradition said, they quickly make a makeshift cross actually, you know. And it was just tall enough to just raise a man up, the way they made that cross and so on. And people think that it was made of the common tree in those days, either an olive tree or a sycamore tree, you know, according to things. Again, it's a historical thing that just makes the whole thing just, I mean, I don't know, I love it, you know, praise God, you know. See what happened even among the people at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what they were going through, all these things and so on, you know. Anyway, and so one more thing. One more indignity the Lord had to suffer was to carry his own cross. Can you imagine that? He had to carry his own cross, you know? And it was a savage irony that the victim had to carry the instrument upon which he was to suffer. But that was the lot of the Savior, you know? That was it. You know, he humbled himself, the lot of the Savior. Now, today, many glorify the cross. And things like that, you know. And it's a fashionable thing for them to wear the cross around their neck and all these kind of things and so on like that, you know. And you know, people put upon this upon their temple, upon their church and so on like that, But in reality, brethren, the Lord, when he carried that cross, it was an article of shame. Amen. Equivalent to what we call today the long man's noose. N-O-S-A, noose, a hangman, right? So you make a noose, it's like a loop, right?
Yeah.
So that's what it is. Or electric chair. That's what it means, electric chair. Or all kind of evil. Or even a gas chamber, What the people are drawing back to that. So the law became the object of reproach. Again, fulfilling prophecy. Because we are told in Psalm 32, the 6th verse. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. Praise the Lord. All because of me, all because of you, all that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So to the Lord, the task of carrying the cross was no little additional body anyway, to the one who had been and suffered upon the whipping post anyway, who had been spat upon, and has stood exhaustive interrogation, in the hand of all the political and the ecclesiastical system and so on. The brutal derision of the soldiers and the people, the kind of taunt now. And finally, the inhuman laceration, of the cattle nine tails. We talked about that before. Now, you see, the soldiers, they saw that the Lord may not be able to can't even carry the ark cross to the destination and so on. So I'm looking around for people who will carry this. Not because they pity him, just to get the job done quickly. Praise God. Not because they were pitying the Lord or they have mercy. No. Want to get this thing done quickly, That's to look for. He's too slow and so on. See, that's to get the man around to carry the cross for him. Let's go to Mark 15. So, at the 21st verse. So, the Bible says, and they compelled one Simon a Cyrenian. Praise God. Who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. See? That thing is somewhere northeast of Ethiopia, I believe it is. It's an African, a black man, praise God. One of the great prophets of our time, he prayed one prayer one time. I think that was a blind man and so forth, was praying for a blind man. I won't forget that prayer. A man that was blind and so on. Then he invoked this thing. How? Pray for a black man. Then in his prayer, he said, Lord, remember it was a black man that helped you carry your cross. That man saw when he prayed for him. When he invoked that, he said, Lord, remember it was a black man that helped you carry your cross. And this is a blind man, a black blind man. And the man saw.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. See? So anyway, many other traditions even point to this father of Rufus Alexander, right? I think it even surfaced in the scripture again because we read in Romans 16:13, it's not unlikely that these children of Simon is mentioned here, Rufus, because in Romans 16:13, Brother Paul writing, salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord. I won't be surprised if he's that child of Simon, amen? Of singing, praise the Lord. And, even, not only that, even Simon himself must have been mentioned indirectly in yet another scripture, in Acts 11:20, of some Cyrenian who preached to the Greeks, Let me read that back quickly to you, in Acts 11:20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, see that? Which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. I'm going to survive in summer and say, praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See? No, they were predestined and so on, Now, we are on the way to Golgotha, right? We're almost there now. So, just walking through history and things like that, See, the Roman Catholics, they always had their traditions, right? So, I don't know, this have been there. From that spot, and it's just a few, not a long distance, the Roman Catholic Church, they put 14 stations from that place The judgment all I believe to be called the Gogota, the place of the skull, they put 14 stations every few feet. That's a station. I caught that. So they will put it, there are 14 of them in all. They call it the Via Dolorosa. They call it Via Dolorosa, you know. And they put there are 14 of them. Only one of them matched scripture about the women who are wailing. So then that's what I've been talking about, amen. As far as the Dolorosa is concerned, I did that alone.
Anyway, I want that thing, man, because I went to one Catholic church with my younger brother when I traveled to Nigeria. So I saw all these food pictures.
Yeah.
On the wall.
Yeah, the fortune of them.
Yeah, in Israel.
Yeah, fortune of them.
Yeah, the Catholics did their
food. Yes, yeah, they have it.
Where Christ was supposed
to be. Yes.
The prayer you pray for
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the ninth one, after the 14th, the ninth one, the Catholic one, the ninth one is the only one that the Bible talks about the women. You see, praise God. So because when you hear the Via Dolorosa, that we are talking about. Yeah. Anyway, so let's read the Bible here in Luke 23, verse 27. So about the women and so on. And they have followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the green tree, what shall be done in the dry? The Lord said, you know. We need to wrap up here. So you see, let's talk about that a little bit. So when people have noted this thing, that it appeared that none of the men that followed the law gave the law any comfort. As far as we know, you know, only the women, you know. And we also saw that only the women who are told in the Bible, these women that followed, they were not ashamed or afraid of anybody. Amen. They have had the preachings of the Lord. They have seen the miracles. So what can you tell us, you know? Praise God. Exactly right. We are the apostles. Praise God, you know. We are the apostles. Who lays down upon his chest? The supper, just a couple of hours or so before, you know. Praise the Lord.
They will kill the men,
didn't they? That's true. They were locked up in the room anyway. You know, the resurrection story and so on. They were all locked. Well, you see, they have a point though, because they are the target, right?
Yeah.
So they are the guys. So they have to be locked up because of the Jews, you know. So they have a point right there. Praise God. You know, anyway, so people have noted that only the women and so on are not ashamed, but they know, follow the law. And I think the miracles and all that, you know. So overcome with grief and so on, they begin to lament and so on. And the Lord begins the Lord begins to now give them a warning, you know. They were not to weep for him, he said, but rather for themselves and their children. Because the events of that day were an harbinger of the terrible things ahead. The Lord begins to warn them, you know. So many of them, the Lord said, and nearly all of their children will live to see one of the most terrible tragedies that ever befell a nation. And it took place. Praise the Lord. The destruction of Jerusalem and the horrors attending this event will come as a terrifying calamity that will cause Israel, he said, to shudder. And it did. You know? So, and the flow of the rivers of blood that follow the agony of a dying nation. The survivors that will glut the slave market, they were sold into slavery, those who didn't get killed at all, sold into slavery, will cause their children to cry out for the mountains and hail to cover them.
Mm-hmm.
If those things, now come the word of the law, he said, if those things that took place, why did he say, because the Lord said one thing, he said, for if they do these things in the green tree, what shall be done in the dry? So, to the intent that if those things took place while the Messiah was here, amen?
Mm-hmm.
See, what will happen in the days of madness and despair. What will happen during the hour of vengeance? See? So, well, you know, did the Lord reward the women? Of course, in so many ways. Everywhere the gospel is preached, we know it is typical of, especially of the so-called third world country and so of your hidden country, to maltreat women, you know, put them as a second class citizen, you know, as well as you know. But everywhere the gospel is preached, there's a liberation for the women, amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, no wonder he first of all appeared to them, right? Mary the Magdalene, praise God. They were rewarded, praise God. Anyway, blessed be the name of the Lord. So let us note one thing about the Lord before I close here this evening, and it's a lesson to us all and so on, what the Lord said in there. So anyway, it's a revelation, you know, of the man Jesus. It's a God man, right? That in this dark hour that he was going through of intense sufferings, when he was about to face the terrible torture of crucifixion, he forgot his own sorrows, you know? He did. And had compassion on the weeping daughters of Jerusalem. In the agony which he had already endured at the whipping post, he realized the full meaning of the terrible suffering that lay ahead for his people, the Jews. Amen? Even despite the suffering that he was going through and so on. And as he saw the very sword of doom hanging over the city, forgetting his own sorrows now, his heart went out to death. And I want to close with Matthew 27:33, where he got to Golgotha for the crucifixion. There we end it tonight. Matthew 27:33 of Matthew. They were called unto a place called Golgotha. That is to say, a place of skull. It was the site of the crucifixion. Praise the Lord Jesus. Just looking at the history and the Bible, what the Almighty God went through, you know, for us and so forth, to the kinsman redeemer, to redeem us back. Well, some call it politics influencing Jesus, not really. So, and he can use anything to accomplish prophecy, amen. See, the same thing will happen. So, in the time of Enoch, abomination began to set upon the earth, praise the Lord. And he foresaw the antediluvian age coming and so that, you know, I guess Bible says he walked with God, you know, he separated himself, you know, and walked with God. And the Bible says God took him, it was not for God took him and so on. There will be a scenario on the earth, okay, the chain of Israel, right? That's a set up in Egypt that made them to cry out for deliverance, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Apostasy was what caused, you know, but it has many prophecies. Only by the writing of Jude do we even know some of those prophecies. Praise God. Talking about the Lord coming with thousands and thousands of his saints, right? You know, he said that and so on, you know. Abomination was setting upon the face of the earth. And we know, so there will be a setup of one kind or the other, you know. So, of course, you know, he going to the rapture and so on. Of course, Noah, you know, after him, the type of the tribulation saints. Praise the Lord. You know, it was India and so on. There was a setting upon the earth in the days of Elijah the prophet. The same kind of scenario, abomination, Israel had been given to idolatry. Amen? Praise the Lord. And here came. That, I think, that drove that prophet to the wilderness. Amen? He couldn't even begin to see the abomination being done in Israel. All we hear from him in 1 Kings 17, Elijah the Tishbite, amen? Out of nowhere, out of the wilderness, praise God, and cry over the sin of the nation. Went in the translation, of course, Elisha, a type of a tribulation saint, praise God. He went through that, things like that, you know. So, I believe at the end of time, events will happen in this earth, of course, like arose a Pharaoh, amen, in Egypt, that knew not Joseph, amen. Praise the Lord. Put pressure, you know, upon the chain of Israel, that they might cry unto the Lord for deliverance, amen. That the setting upon the heart, now maybe it's already happened, we don't know. A pressure unprecedented that he made the elect to cry out for the coming of the Lord. Amen. We are living in that hour now. Praise the Lord Jesus. Yes, Rome was set up to accomplish the crucifixion and all those kind of things, you know, that was prophesied. So we believe we are living that time also, you know, time of trouble, setting upon the face of the earth. That's why cry is going out from everywhere, many child of God, you know, you know, cry unto the Lord now for the Lord to return. The revival that God has promised us, so it's going up right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your word is never boring, full of life. No matter how many times we have read it or we have heard it, you always have things that you can reveal to us. We within a will, the word of the living God. Lord, we thank you. You know we have been blessed tonight again. Just even know the historical aspect of this thing. Lord, we worship and we adore you, Lord. Make us to even value more than ever before our redemption. It teaches us humility. It teaches us how to treat those who seemingly hate us. You know, if we lie anything apart from our redemption, on top of our redemption, we see the humility. He say he humbled himself even unto the death of the cross. So now, Lord, who can so maltreat us now that we should get so mad? You know, when we have seen the Almighty himself. You know, so Lord, it taught us a lot of things now, oh Lord. And then Lord, as we go tonight, Lord, we go rejoicing. The apostle said that the Peter he said he was a witness to the sufferings of Christ and a partaker of the glory to be revealed. Yeah, we are thank you, Lord. Another person said he has begotten us to a lively hope by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Lord, we thank you and we glorify thy name, Lord. Lord, we are a partaker of the glory to be revealed. Christ is not the hope of glory. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, thank you tonight, Lord. You know, so as Easter passes and comes, we pray that many continue to turn to the Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So we go forth thanking the Lord. Humble ourselves, Lord, oh Father, before the Lord daily. You know, and having compassion of our fellow man. The time of judgment will come, we know that. It's setting upon the heart now. We know in the end, we will even judge angels, you know. And we judge the world too. You know, even in the end, why even begin to make judgments now? We just preach the gospel right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And let the angels separate at the time appointed, in the name of Jesus. We preach it to everyone, you know. It says, come, whosoever will, let them come and drink freely of the water of life. That is the message for the hour. In the name of the Lord Jesus, as we proclaim his coming, Lord, thank you, Father. He does not discriminate whosoever will. Let us this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, as we enter the prayer time now, Lord, we trust, oh Lord God, you know, you are the God that answers prayer. Lord, oh Lord God, the Lord our God in the midst of us is mighty. So, Lord, we know we're going to hear. Then shall we cry, the Lord will hear. And we pray and the Lord will say here that young is in the midst of us tonight. Amen. Lord, to bring to pass and to answer every request that you ask according to his will. Lord, thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise God, brother. Benjamin, please help us tonight again by the grace of our Lord Jesus into this other session of prayer request or praying time.